So just because you're born with hair all over your body, that doesn't make you a bad guy, right? Just because you have red hair or a red beard, that shouldn't necessarily make you a bad guy, I would assume. Just because you decide to go to work instead of learn and go to the fields all day instead of sitting in a tent, I'm pretty sure that doesn't make you a bad guy. And just because you're starving and you sell something in the future because of something that's right there right now so that you can live to see the future, that doesn't necessarily make you into a bad guy. Getting angry at a person for stealing it from you in your mind when taking advantage of your situation should also not make you into a bad guy. So why was Esav a bad guy? What did he do wrong? What was Esav's issue? Now, Chazal tell us that on the day that Avinu died, when he was 13 according to Rashi, or 15 according to all the other Midrashim, right, whatever age it was, he murdered, committed adultery, he worshipped Avodah Zarah, he denied the birthright, and he was shatis abachayr is what it says, and he denied tchias amesim. And all of those were done on that day. Now, the murder, that's the only one that we have a Midrash on. We don't have any Midrash about Esav worshipping Avodah Zarah, we have Midrashim about his wives worshiping Avodah Zarah, but the Midrash tells us the person that he murdered. I don't know about you, but if I murdered Nimrod, I would think that person is a hero. If I had the opportunity to kill the arch enemy of my grandfather, the person who was his nemesis who tried to kill him, and I had the opportunity to kill him, I don't understand. Why would that be a bad thing? The murder that he did should not have warranted him being called a Rasha for it. As for everything else, where do Chazal get this from? Where do they see it? If we look through the Psukim, seemingly, there's nothing bad about Esav. So where do we see, how do we know that this is who Esav was? I am not saying that we can deny any words of Chazal, or that the Midrashim cannot be taken seriously. What I'm asking really is, where is the remez in the Psukim to this hatred that we have for Esav? What did he do? And again, to say at the end of the Parsha that Esav wanted to kill Yaakov, I don't know. I can hear it. I don't think I'd want to kill my brother, but at the end of the day, he did steal the Bechora and steal the Bracha from him. So I can hear it. I at least hear a tzad to say why Esav is not the worst in the world. So what is this exactly? So many of these Midrashim stem from the fact that Esav was known as an Ish Sadeh, a man of the field, a man of the field. Since the word Sadeh is used elsewhere in a negative light, right? Since it's used in different places to denote things that are, or connote things that are somewhat evil. So therefore, they say Sadeh here, Sadeh there. They have that drush, whether that comes from Gematria or some type of a Hekish, whether it's a word and almost like a Gzeirah Shavah, which is not a Gzeirah Shavah because it's not Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai. But what does that mean? What are these eyes of Chazal? And how do we get them? How can we look at the Torah and see who's real and who's not? The same way that Chazal were able to look at the Torah and find that Esav's bad and Yaakov's good. What do we need to be able to get there? So there are people out there in the world who are able to read your mind. Maybe you've seen little things about them, these magicians or these mind, I think they call themselves mind readers, right? What they have, and it's common practice by the wealthier people to have these guys, even at a Sheva Brachos. I went to a Sheva Brachos, right? And they had a mind reader there, a mind reader. Guy who was able to tell you everything you were thinking, things like that. Or Scheinfeld, I think, was there at the same time, if I remember correctly. So what do these guys do? Are they really reading minds? Of course they're not reading minds. They see certain things about you. They're very astute. They're staring at you, and they try to see your mannerisms and the way that you act. They look for certain things that you do when you answer their questions. Different parts of your forehead, different parts underneath your eyes. They're staring at those things, and they figure everything out, because everyone speaks in a certain style. Everyone has a certain air about them. They're able to figure these things out just by looking at you. So by asking certain pointed questions about you, or trying to figure out what you think if you say a certain word, what their reaction is going to be, that should be able to tell you what kind of a person that person is. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle used this to perfection in his books about Sherlock Holmes. and he became a world-renowned author. He was an author before this, before and after this, but he was a world-renowned author when he wrote his Sherlock Holmes book. He kept trying to get off it. He kept trying to kill off Sherlock Holmes to be able to get out of this so he could start doing other things, but by popular demand, everybody wanted more books about Sherlock Holmes and the little things out there. What he really did, and the truth is, by the way, it didn't start with Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. It started with Edgar Allan Poe. He had Detective Dupin. Dupin, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. But, and as a side note also, these are tremendous books, which I highly recommend for someone who wants to read something outside. Extremely clean books. You don't have to worry about any of those other things that are out there. Baruch Hashem, those are books that if a person needs to read something outside of his, you know, outside of learning, whatever it is, very, 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 it makes you think. It makes you think the whole way through. But these ideas are things that their characters, Dupin and Sherlock Holmes, were able to use to perfection, to be able to look at a certain person and convince audiences that they had just been able to read your mind, when really all they were doing is reading your temperament, your abilities, and your talking methods. So for example, they'll look at you, for example, and they'll notice certain things about you from the start. They'll look at what you're wearing. They look at what your hair looks like. They'll look at the cuffs of your shirt or your jacket. Right? They'll look at the brand of shirt. They'll look at the style of the shirt. If it's tucked in, if it's not tucked in, how it's tucked in, the way you hold your body while you're wearing it, the way you hold your body while you're walking, while you're talking, the way you look, the way you act, etc. And they assume. And they make huge assumptions. And usually, they're 100% right. It's a science. And really, that's what's Sir Arthur Conan Doyle does throughout the whole books. He tries to convince you that what really looks like a cool thing, like an unbelievable way to look at the thing, is really a type of science. It's an inaccurate science because people can fool you and make you think that you're something that you're not, or that they're something that they're not. But nonetheless, right, it's a science. So maybe it's a bit unfair. What if, you know, somebody looked at me when I wasn't in the best of moods? What if I wasn't wearing, you know, my best shirt or my best pants on that day? What if, you know, I spilled milk all over me at breakfast that morning? But the truth is, all of that goes into play. That helps explain what kind of a person you are. Even if you only spill milk on yourself once every 3 years, that still helps understand that you are a person that spills milk on you once every 3 years. That does help in certain ways. It figures out certain things. So I don't have enough gaiva. I'm working on it, but I don't yet have enough gaiva to assume that I know how Chazal or the greatest Rabbanim were able to figure out these certain things and to be able to make these drushos or what convinced them to say what they said. But I'm going to take the words of the Bala Turin and the Rabbeinu Ephraim and other Rishonim and try to figure out from there and use that mushel that I gave about those types of characters and books to be able to understand something of what we get over here. So Chazal were able to understand what the Torah wants by just glancing at the wording being used to describe what's happening. So I'll give you an example. When we first meet Esav and Yaakov, when they're born, there's wording that's used to describe why they're called what they're called. Esav is called Esav because why? It's because when he came out, he had kulo admoni, kulo kaderaseor. He was entirely red. Kaderaseor is like he had a cloak of hair going around, etc. Right? And we see that when it was, he came out, people thought he was already made. The wording in Rashi is, he was already asui, as if he was already made something. So therefore, they called him Esav. Yaakov is a completely different tone. The Yado ochezes ba'akev ya'esav. We have no idea what he looks like. The truth is, Yaakov might have also been red-haired. Yaakov might have also been born with a red beard like Esav. It could be that Yaakov was also filled with hair. It's a possibility. Maybe not as much hair, but it's possible that he had hair all over his body, that he was red-haired. It could be it was the exact same thing. But his name did not go with the description of how he looks like. He was named this. He was named Yaakov because of what he did. He grabbed onto the heel of Esav and tried to pull him back. When Chazal saw this, they understood something. When referring to Esav, the description you give is based on the features. You go by what he looks like. His redness, his ruddiness, I guess you can call it. His cloak of hair. That's who he was. It's not what he did that counted. You looked at him and you could define him as a person just by seeing who he was. Yaakov, on the other hand, it didn't matter what he looked like. What mattered is what he did. the actions that he went about in this world. And the fact that he grabbed onto Esav's leg shows us he is a person who's a doer. Meaning, there's a person who looks the part but doesn't necessarily play the part. There's another person who plays the part but does it well, but doesn't necessarily look the part. Yaakov may have looked simple, but his actions spoke more about his character than anything else. Esav looked awesome, but his looks were the only thing that you could really get from him. As they grew older, Vayigdu and Aaron, both were old enough to now be described by their actions. And now, the Torah tells us what the actions were. Now, look at the wording of the pasuk that says, harsh tone by Esav, ish yodea tzayid ish sada. He was a man of the field, he knew how to trap things in the field. That's how it describes Esav, as somebody that was a hunter. By Yaakovinu, an ish tum yoshev ohala. Now it's the exact opposite. All of a sudden, Esav is being described by actions, what he did for a living, how he went out to the field, and Yaakov by his inaction, so to speak. He was a tum, simple person, yoshev ohalim, sat down in his own tent, sitting and doing, so to speak, nothing all day long. Yitzchak loved Esav. Why did he love Esav? Ki tzayid b'fiv. Because something that he did, he brought him food. Why did Rivka love Yaakov? Rivka heves es Yaakov. Rivka just loved Yaakov. And now we switch. The action that described Yaakov now became an inaction that Rivka loves him for not doing anything at all. While Esav now does something in order to gain the favor of his father. Meaning there's something here. There's something very different about the two that switches. Chazal took this and understood something. That everything Esav did was for show. He was not a person who did actions because it came naturally to him, that he wanted to do something, that he wanted to be a good person. He had to work on himself in order to do it because on the inside, he really was evil. And he may have put out a good show and showed people, Melech, Tevin, Dad, should I be taking off Meiser? What should I do in this type of case? But deep down inside, he couldn't care less about anything. Everything he did was on the outside. It's what he showed himself to be from his looks and from what he did, from the ways that he wanted people to see him. It's possible that Esav looked like a Rosh Hashiva, that he wore a long jacket, a rekel. He may have had an up hat. He may have sponsored the entire yeshiva. And the yeshiva Shem Be'ever, or the yeshiva of Yitzchak Avinu, may have been named Esav's yeshiva, with a little banner out in front that Esav paid the money for. He was the one, the businessman. He's the one that did everything. It's possible that he all of a sudden started being great because, look, he's somewhat put together. Outwardly, he seemed like he was a great person. And outwardly, he looked kosher. But inside was a completely different story. Inside, he was still the same Esav that was known as Edom, that was Kulo Keder Ser, that there was nothing there. They looked back at the Pesukim and looked at what stuck out. Ish Yodea Tzayid. I get it. You got to say that Esav is a hunter. But why do you have to say Ish Sadeh, a man of the field? You don't have to say that. If it's an Ish Yodea Tzayid, then obviously he's spending his time in the field. So what does that mean? If Yaakov is an Ish Tum, a simple man, then obviously he's staying at home and not going out. You don't have to say he's a Yoshev Olam. So Chazal looked through Tanakh. Chazal looked for the word Sadeh. And looked and said, what does the word Sada connote? Where do we see this word Sada throughout? Where do we see the word Ohel throughout? What does Sada understand it as? What does that mean? What does Ohel mean? And when they saw that Ohel is usually learned, usually used in a positive tone, and that they went and they saw that the word Sada is used in a negative tone, then all of a sudden they said, it must be that Esav is a person who really did what the Sada represents. When they saw the word Sadeh by Inesh Ish, a man grabbing a woman and bringing her out to a Sadeh and being together with her, they understood this is what Esav did. When they saw the word Ohel being used by Bilam, for example, as a reference to Klal Yisrael, how the Ohel is Metariyu, they understood this is who Yaakov is. They found the little bits and pieces that seemingly are unnecessary in the text. Knowing what kind of people these people are being described as in the beginning and as they grow older, at the age of 0, at the age of 13/15, at the age of 63. And they said, there's something here, there's something that needs to go on over here, and that's a drush. This method obviously can be used in learning Gemara as well. You take a look at one word and you say, there's no need for that word over here. What are Chazal trying to do? Why did Chazal put this Maisa inside here? What's the purpose of knowing what this Tana or Amora says if we're not paskin in this way? All of those things are diukim. And obviously, it's even easier to be able to do in Rishonim, like Rashi, Tosos, or Rashba, to be able to sit there and say, this word, that word, what's going on? But those are secrets. They're secrets that Chazal hid within. And machlokisim that they wanted to bring up to help understand the examples that they gave in the shaklavatari of an entire sugya, to be able to get it down. It's all about reading the mind of the Gemara, and if we can, to the level of the Chumash, to our level, our abilities, to be able to read the level of the Chumash and see how this goes through. And if we get this down, really, if we understand about them, then maybe we can start using it on ourselves. What do we have within us that makes us excited, that makes us happy, that makes us want to do something more, that helps us understand who we really are? And it shouldn't matter what other people say or what other people do. It's what do we want? What makes me happy? We have to be like Mr. Dubin or Mr. Holmes, Lahavdil, obviously, Alfei Elef Havdalos, Chazal. And try to literally look into ourselves. Cheshbon HaNefesh is not just a 3-minute, you know, just exploration of who you are or what we can be. It should be a full understanding of what we are, what we want to be, what we are deep down inside. There's a method behind the madness that runs our lives. If we got this correct, Chazal have an ability, and they show us this ability all the time through the Midrashim, to be able to go deeper, 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 deeper into the text. And we can use this to be able to understand ourselves deeper and deeper and deeper, to understand who we really are. We'll stop with this, everyone. Have a great week.